Welcome to Onc Live On Air. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Sarah Rutherford, MD, about the evolving role of minimal residual disease and circulating tumor DNA testing for lymphoma treatment decision-making. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Rutherford discussed the usefulness of ctDNA for guiding patient treatment, clinical trials that are ongoing to determine the best use of this type of assay, how personalized ctDNA testing offers the potential for disease surveillance and effective intervention, key hurdles in the way of widespread implementation of ctDNA testing in clinical practice, and how integration with next-generation sequencing is expected to further tailor treatment strategies.
Thank you so much, Dr. Rutherford, for joining us today to talk about MRD and ctDNA when, you know, its evolving role within the lymphoma treatment paradigm. So just to get us started, you know, within that paradigm, you know, what is known about MRD and ctDNA and their potential role, you know, within the management of lymphoma?
I want to tell you that we, as a community of doctors treating patients with lymphoma, are so excited that ctDNA is starting to be used more in these diseases, especially diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. There are difficult situations within this management of patients in which we're not sure exactly how to interpret PET scans, for example, and I think ctDNA is going to be a great tool to help us guide patients along their journey from diagnosis and treatment and follow-up.
ctDNA and MRD have been studied within the solid tumor treatment paradigm. Have there been any kind of lessons that have, you know, been applied to the lymphoma space or even vice versa?
It is really interesting that there are really more advancements in some ways in this area of monitoring in solid tumors compared to hematologic malignancies. I think what I have been most concerned about from a practical standpoint is making sure the patients aren't getting bills related to this type of testing. And so the fact that it's already being done in solid tumors, I think it paves a way that I hope will lead to reimbursement so that we can really be checking this and feeling confident that the patients won't get a bill for it.
What are some of the current approaches for measuring ctDNA and MRD within patients with lymphoma?
For the most part, at this time, ctDNA and lymphoma is being done in clinical trials and not as much in clinical practice, although I think we're really on the brink of that changing. So there have been some really compelling studies that have been published and reported over the last couple years. One is a direct study that was done in the UK showing both at baseline and after treatment that the ctDNA amount is really prognostic for progression-free survival. And then I think what is really helpful is some data that came from the HOVON group that was reported at ASCO this past year in 2025. And that, what I've found to be the most useful, and I've already mentioned this, but showing what the ctDNA results are at the end of treatment, for example, in diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. So sometimes we have a PET scan that's hard to interpret. We're not sure exactly what to make of it. And using the ctDNA testing will help us, I think, feel, for example, more confident monitoring someone, even if they have a positive PET scan at the end of treatment, but we know their ctDNA was negative. On the flip side, if someone has positive ctDNA, then I think we're going to be much more cautious about the monitoring and their follow-up from there. I think at this point, most doctors are not using ctDNA to make decisions quite yet. But again, I think we're really close to being able to do that. I know there's a clinical trial that's being done in patients who have ctDNA positivity at the end of treatment for diffuse large B-cell lymphoma that is putting them potentially onto a novel therapy, such as CAR T-cell therapy. But I think we're going to learn more from clinical trials and from sending these assays. And actually, what I think the current, where I would see it the most useful in a current state is in monitoring patients. So over the years, there have been a number of different studies looking at surveillance PET scans. And basically, if someone's in a complete response after treatment from diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, it's never been shown to improve overall survival to do lots of PET scans. And there are some negative aspects like radiation exposure, cost, anxiety that patients get when they're undergoing scans. So how I think I would first use ctDNA testing and DLBCL would be in those surveillance situations so that when they come in for their three-month follow-up visit, we're going to feel reassured if we get a result back that shows that their ctDNA is undetectable. However, if we find that the ctDNA is detectable, then we can do a PET scan and assess, you know, potentially do a biopsy and figure out if they need another line of therapy.
And then just looking at Signatera specifically, you know, how is this, you know, assay designed and what are some of the potential benefits versus some of the other maybe testing methods that might be used for MRD?
Right. So I think the Signatera is really one of the only available assays for ctDNA to be used in the clinical setting. Like I had said earlier, many of the assays are research-based and aren't available for us to use. And I think that facilities, like I work at an academic institution, I think we have familiarity as a group because this company, Signatera, the company that makes the Signatera assay is very well established in solid tumor malignancies. And my understanding is that they really create a personalized and tumor-informed assay for each person based on their tumor tissue that then can be tracked using a non-invasive strategy of collecting peripheral blood for ctDNA analysis. I know that they're really ramping up in terms of collecting data in diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, and there have been some studies already showing that it can be predictive of outcomes and may enable surveillance, and especially surveillance, like I had mentioned, but also potentially intervention, or, for example, if someone has positive findings at the end of treatment. Perhaps, you know, eventually we'll have a clear-cut way of being able to manage those patients so that we can really optimize their outcomes.
In terms of integrating MRD and ctDNA within clinical practice, what are some of the final hurdles needed to clear to make that a reality?
I think that it'll be important for us to start sending the test if we're going to be using Signatera, for example, at baseline so that we can have the tumor tissue sent to the company and the assay developed and personalized specifically for that patient. Right now, it is challenging to know exactly what to do with the information. So at end of treatment, if patients have positive ctDNA, and I don't have this clinical trial available that would potentially treat a patient with that situation, it's hard to treat a patient just based on that information. So I think more clinical trial information of understanding what to do in that situation is a hurdle. And then for me, I think, again, making sure that it's covered by insurance is a key part. But I think if I could ensure that, I would be comfortable using it at baseline and then in the follow-up monitoring type setting to really augment our clinical data and to hopefully help us be able to avoid doing unnecessary imaging studies.
In conjunction with, you know, other potential biomarkers, ones that are already established or maybe some novel ones coming, you know, how do you kind of see ctDNA and MRD kind of being integrated in, you know, informing risk assessment and, you know, treatment decision-making and, you know, being part of that bigger picture, you know, in terms of patient management?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. One of the key other tests that we are starting to do more in diffuse large B-cell lymphoma is next generation sequencing panels. So again, like some of the other diseases, particularly in hematologic malignancies, they've already been doing that. The doctors who treat those patients have already been doing it next generation sequencing for years in some cases, but it hasn't to this date really been that effective in terms of giving us different strategies for how to treat patients with diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. But there are a couple of groups who have created genetic clusters and algorithms. One is the DLB class that was developed by the Harvard group, where basically you can input mutation information and it helps figure out what genetic subtype a patient has. At this point, we don't treat patients differently based on that information, but there is a clinical trial through the National Clinical Trials Network that's being planned where patients are going to be randomized to different treatments based on their genetic cluster. So I think I really see this field moving both with the next generation sequencing and ctDNA MRD type approaches kind of hand in hand going forward so that we can basically tailor the treatment strategies, both in terms of the actual treatment type, but also the length of treatment and, again, monitoring of patients in remission. And I think both of those are really going to make a big difference in our patients' lives in the coming years.
For colleagues who are, you know, still getting familiar with, you know, MRD and ctDNA, particularly within the lymphoma space, you know, what would be your take-home message in terms of, you know, what it could potentially mean for this treatment paradigm?
So I think that we've heard the term MRD for years, and there were different assays that used to be used, for example, chromosome-based. And I think these newer technologies that are being used for ctDNA analysis are likely more accurate and will be able to be more accessible for us. And I think that it's important for us to look at the clinical trials that are being done and really try to learn from those and decide together as a field how we're going to be using this in clinical practice so that we can really tailor the treatment correctly for the patients.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back throughout the week for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.